Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. Happy Friday, everybody. Dusty Hera. Will Ortner is with us.
What's up?
Jeff Rust is with us.
Holla at your boy.
Danny Meringue is not.
Again.
He's back to summiting hoops, man. Yeah. This guy in those hoops, he's just summiting all of them.
Is it like Everest? Or was like the other day Everest and now it's K9 that he's summiting?
Yeah,
is
maybe.
He a Sherpa?
Oh. Yeah.
The way you say Sherpa is really funny. Say that again.
Does he need a Sherpa?
Well, he might
you
be the
like Sherpa.
You
sound like Dr. Evil. Like, if Dr. Evil were to say Sherpa, he'd be like,
dollars.
Sherpa.
Sherpa. Really? Who throws a cupcake? I mean, seriously.
Austin Powers, great movie trilogy.
Criminally underrated, I would say.
There's three of them, right?
There are three.
There are three.
Yeah.
Criminally underrated.
It's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was a team bonding experience. Austin Powers and the Spy Who Shagged Me. That was released into theaters.
99?
We were, 97?
Yeah, late 90s there.
Was the second one then 99? Because one, like, I think the Beyonce one's like 2002,
1997.
It was International Man of Mystery.
Yes.
Spy Who Shagged Me was number two, and then Goldmember was three.
Yeah, 99 and then 2002.
So Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, that was released when... It was in theaters when we had a basketball tournament at, it sounds about right, May 2nd, 1997. We had a basketball tournament in Newport, and the entire team went and watched without our parents.
That's fantastic.
It was a life-changing event for us all.
Well, and again, he's criminally underrated, and maybe it's not, like, again... Not to do the young guy thing, but my generation does not know Mike Myers well enough. Like, my generation has an issue with, like, their knowledge of Mike Myers is either SNL Best Ofs, or it's, is it The Love Guru? Was that what that movie was called?
Oh, yeah. That's the one of his that I have not seen and I refuse to.
It made me laugh.
Yeah.
I get it.
Some people say that movie is really funny. I can't get into it.
Really? You can't get into the five-hole diagram that they have with the hockey?
No idea what you're talking about. I've started it, have not watched it.
See, that's
Let's see, is it on a streaming app?
It used to be. I believe it used to be on Netflix, because that's where I would have seen it. Or, like, because my brother and I love Mike Myers.
Yeah.
And we'll tune in to any of his movies. Like, if he went out and he did an Austin Powers 4, like they're doing Happy Gilmore 2, I'm tuning in. I don't care if it's a gigantic hunk of crap.
Pluto.
I have to check that out.
Pluto TV. You can watch it for free.
Ooh, there you go. And the Big Sky Network.
I'll have to get in there and watch it.
I still say, though, So I Married an Axe Murderer. Criminally underrated.
Great.
So underrated, I don't know that I've heard of it.
Whoa, man.
Oh, it's another one where Mike Myers plays multiple parts. He plays his own father. He's Scottish.
He does. Scottish father?
Yeah. Look at the size of that boy's head.
Heed down. No.
It's a virtual planetoid.
Go and put his big old melon and cry himself to sleep on his pillow.
On his huge pillow.
His huge pillow.
It's like an orange on a toothpick.
Yeah.
Is he just Fat Bastard the whole time?
It's probably what inspired Fat Bastard,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because that is a fantastic movie. Yeah. Yep. So I Married an Axe Murderer. Love Mike Myers.
Yes. He's awesome, man.
Could you imagine... If Mike Myers were not Shrek and it was Chris Farley. It was originally going to be.
Have you heard the takes? Because there's a couple of them.
Yeah, like Chris Farley had voiced some of the lines.
Yeah.
And they changed the story arc because of it, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not minor tweaks to it, but that would be very different. That would be a very different movie.
Does it spawn all the sequels?
No.
Does
no.
it have the success?
No.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it does, because there's something...
Just lightning in a bottle?
There's something to the accent, and when you hear Chris Farley saying it, it was like, yeah, that's just still Chris Farley, though, you know?
Right.
Mike Myers made it into his zone, and well, that's what made Shrek different.
See, and I would say, like, as good as Mike Myers is in it, I think it's the little one-liners that they have spaced throughout the movie. Like, if you haven't seen it in a while...
Mm-hmm.
It'd probably be easier to do this if you have like a kid and you're like, hey, come and watch this great kids movie. Mm-hmm. But there are good adult jokes thrown in throughout that movie. Like that movie gets it. Like, hey, there's a parent that is mad that they're having to watch this kids movie. Let's throw in a couple jokes so that the parents will laugh at it too.
You know who was great at that? The cartoons Rocky and Bullwinkle. Rocky and Bullwinkle had... adult jokes in there. They had some political humor sprinkled in. Rocky and Bullwinkle, ahead of its time in that regard.
I think I've only seen Rocky and Bullwinkle clips from Bullwinkles. I don't know that, like, I think I missed the boat on that.
You sure did.
Tom and Jerry was more my cup of tea. Or Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a long way to say Danny's out today. So
round and round we go.
That's right. That's where we got.
Will and Dusty are here.
That's where we start.
Rust is over there. Today we'll have Noah Eagle on. He will be calling the Nike Hoop Summit tomorrow from Moda Center. Noah Eagle, and it'll be on NBC. But we will have Noah Eagle on at 1:30 today to talk Nike Hoop Summit. Just being awesome. He's a good dude. I like Noah Eagle a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look up to him, even though we're the same age. He's doing a little bit better.
Yeah, don't compare yourself to Noah Eagle.
You can't. This is like comparing my basketball game to LeBron.
Yeah. I mean, your it's dad not is not Ian Eagle.
No, he's Tom Ortner. It's different.
Yep.
How do you think he got into teaching?
That is true. He is the Ian Eagle of elementary PE teachers.
And you are Noah Eagle.
But,
like, you're good at teaching elementary school PE.
That is, I'm
but
okay
there's
at
no
it.
Way they would let you teach elementary school PE because of your age if you weren't Tom's son.
Like, that's
Noah
true.
Is one of the best broadcasters on the air right now, too. I'm
oh,
not just saying
awesome.
That. I'm not just saying awesome. That because he's coming on today. I really believe, like, he is nails, man.
What he was doing with the Olympics, because yeah, I think most people were kind of like, dude, what's he going to sound like? Is it going to be good? Dude, it's awesome.
Yeah, and he's
great.
He's awesome with his college football
right?
calls as well, yep. doing the NBC college football. He's going to be doing NBA on NBC coming up next season when the NBA flips over to NBC. Like, I'm here for Noah Eagle. I think he's good.
He's going to be my generation's... as you go through it, like Al Michaels, he's going to be my
no
generation.
He's Bob Costas for you, yeah.
100%.
And I think he has a personality that as he gets older and he's going to be doing, like Bob Costas did like the talk show stuff.
Yes.
And Costas is always so guarded with everything that if he were to let loose a little bit more, I think Bob Costas would have been phenomenal crossover to any audience.
Right.
Noah Eagle has an opportunity to do that. And there's way more platforms for him to do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's going to age well. He's going to age well, I think. He's got a little bit of that 3-and-D kind of play style when it comes to broadcast, where he's shown, like, have you seen the clip where he's making fun of his dad and he's like imitating his dad on one of the broadcasts that he was doing? It's hilarious. He sounds just like Ian. They go back and forth, and he's able to bounce back and forth between his dad and to being himself. He's going to be really good. He's going to be the person that everyone my age chases in this industry.
Pretty awesome. He'll join us at 1:30. And then we have, like this texture says, I always think Noah is 45 or older because he's so put together on air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where that line of delineation between you and him really starts.
I thought it was the hair.
No.
He has much better hair.
No, I think it starts with he gets it.
I'm trying to get it. I'm learning things. I was at the bank all day today. How dare you?
Yeah.
Out here becoming financially literate.
Oh, boy. We will also say goodbye to our great boss, Jeff Austin, today. He's coming on each local show.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear a lot of the man that you've never really heard before, but he's always been around. Jeff Austin, our brand manager, program director, is retiring today. Today is his last day in the office. And this is super weird. He's the only boss I've had.
I was going to say, so he hired you because he hired me.
Yeah, I was his first hire.
Yeah, he came on just a couple of months after I got hired here. I was a Mark Amazon hire.
Wow. So you're his first hire.
I'm his first.
I think I'm his last.
Oh, well. You never forget your first. That joke's coming back in about 18 minutes. That joke is coming back. We're going to reroute that one here in a little bit, folks. So pretend like you didn't hear it the first time.
You got to test it out before you run it on the real thing.
Yeah. And look, he always has been the silver fox of this station. And I believe if HR were actually a thing here, one of our former sales gals probably should have been reported.
Oh.
Yeah. Sales Breezy Sierra. She would call him Silver Fox to his face and to anybody that would listen. He was the Silver Fox.
I don't think I ever met that person.
Yeah.
That's before my time. But
yeah, that's sad for you. She was great.
I don't know how many... I'm bad at meeting people.
You
not
did
on
not meet her. Did not meet her.
I'm bad at it.
She was awesome. Now she has her own CBD beverage that she has.
Oh, cool. Is it actually the Breeze?
No.
Oh, no. Well, then never mind.
All right. Let's get this show on the road, shall we? We've got a ton that we need to get to. We've got quarterback signings in the NFL. Seahawks just signed a quarterback. Do you see that?
Yes.
Literally.
I just saw that.
Just happened.
Yeah. Well, I'm so locked in on the Masters that
and they are
it's
reunions.
Possible I missed it.
We have our first ever college football holdout. That's a thing now. We got to get used to it. He's holding out in the world of college football.
It's a dumb one, too.
Yeah, we'll discuss. We'll discuss.
I don't like it.
All right. Blazers wrap up the regular season this weekend. We will we'll have our in memoriam of the Blazers season on Monday. But today, what do we make of this Blazers season with the final two games? How do you feel? Circle of trust here. Circle of trust for everybody.
We're going to keep it in-house?
I want the listeners to know. Nobody's going to know.
It's anonymous.
Nobody's going to know. Yeah. But 503-864-6326. That is fan text line. So let's get this show on the road with a little bit of the Masters talk, because we got a little controversy going on. We got a little bit of controversy here. We got one guy that is red hot and rolling and everybody's able to watch him. Another guy is lighting up Augusta National and nobody can see him. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Augusta National, the Masters. Round two, well underway. Leader in the clubhouse, Justin Rose, went 1 under on today's round, 71. He is at 8 under par. And this is the quintessential Justin Rose at the Masters.
Yeah.
He has gone low. He's gone 65, 67, mm-hmm. 68 in opening rounds. And then he's gone 71, 74.
Right.
And trickled back over the weekend. But he is the leader in the clubhouse, 8 under, through two rounds of play. But what everybody is wondering is, where can they find Bryson DeChambeau, who is carving up the course today after a 3-under 69 yesterday?
Nice.
He is 4-under on today's round, and he's on the 18th hole as we speak. You cannot watch the Masters app. We talked about this yesterday. Greatest app, greatest service to people, ease of use.
Is it?
You cannot watch Bryson DeChambeau.
And I'm going to have to push back on, is it the greatest
yes.
app? How is it that you have the biggest tournament in all of golf, the yeah. most important one, mm-hmm. the first one, the one that everyone cares about, the one that mm-hmm. everyone can't wait to see, with a golfer like...
Wait, are you talking about the major or
the Masters.
Who Jeff Austin hired first? Because you said the first one, the one that everybody loves.
You're just going to keep twisting favorite. That knife. Oh, okay. You're just yeah. going to keep hammering right. that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, hey, you know... I'm learning from you. As a radio mentor, I'm learning from you
right, yeah,
so
yeah.
that next time I can twist yeah, that knife right. on someone
just
else.
Trying to just hammer this home. All right, hey, so that, you were
fine.
Saying?
I'm the Crystal Hefner in this situation. Mm. So that's Hugh's last wife.
Okay.
So how is it possible that you have such a great app that everyone can see, it's easy to use, easy to find, and you have a big name player, a former major winner, that you can't see? Like, if you couldn't see the upside down hat wearing ASU guy,
yeah.
that makes sense.
I'm watching him on his approach to 18 right now as we speak.
And you know why you can see him?
Because we're on the main feed now. Because
he's playing with Scotty. Like, that's why you can see that guy. But you can't see Bryson. Why would they have Bryson as one of the people not being able to see? Like, as far as popularity goes, I know that at one point everyone hated DeChambeau.
Yep.
He might be the most popular golfer not named Tiger Woods going right now because of YouTube. Like, his YouTube page and his PR team have made him really likable.
Well, so is he. He softened up, and he's not
because the PR team
prickly D-bag on the course anymore that yells at cameramen when he's in a bunker, so you only do my bad shots. Well, I think this may be Augusta going, well, we're going to do none of your shots. How about that, Bryson?
And you can't see. I don't understand how that's possible.
Like, how much of it do you think is a live thing?
I think a lot of it is.
You can watch other live golfers.
That is true. But you should be able to watch the guy who right now is number two.
Yep.
He is sitting in second place at 7-under par, playing really good golf.
Yep.
And is a lightning rod, good or bad, right? I mean, like...
He draws eyeballs.
He really does. And look, we talked with Brian Henniger earlier this week, who is a... You were talking with him.
I did talk with him. I had a question.
He was great.
Loved him.
He talked about, like, he doesn't like LIV. He's a PGA guy through and through, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he also said what Bryson has done for the game of golf is incredible.
Yes.
And it people within the game and obviously those that are outside of the game that are just wanting any sort of content that's creative around golf, like, Bryson is creating that, and he's helping the game. I don't know why they wouldn't want, why they don't have him on, but you can't really see much of his round. That's okay. I think your bigger issue is not with the Masters app, so stop that. It is with the coverage of the tournament not being on TV, right? Because I feel like
yes.
if it was in the control of the TV folks, he would be featured group.
Probably, but again, that is the Masters, and the Masters do own the Masters app, I would assume. So therefore, it is back on the Masters and the Masters app. The Masters likes being exclusive, and they, because if they wanted to, you could see every shot from every golfer. It would not be that difficult for the Masters to do that.
Yep.
They choose not to. It's their choice. They want it more exclusive, and that's fine, but I still think that the guy right now in Bryson DeChambeau, who, if he's not number one for most paid attention, most influential golfer going right now, he's number two. People want to watch him play golf.
No doubt.
What he's done with the Breaking 50 series, all young golfers, all that next generation, the high schoolers, the college kids, the guys that just got out of college, they all watch all of his stuff. He does a great job. And golf has had an issue in the past with this. Everybody was too stuffy. Everyone was too stuck up, too fancy. Bryson has done a good job of getting with the golfing influencers that are a little bit more bro-y. They're a little bit more down to earth. They have fun on the golf course. They do dumb things. The Bob Does Sports, the good golfers, right? The four playboys. And he gets in with those guys, and that's made him more likable.
Yeah.
Now, is he doing it with a PR team? Yeah, for sure. But it's made him become a more popular golfer.
No doubt.
And to not have him on camera coverage is insane to me, especially when he has a run like this.
Well, projected cut line right now is at it appears
two over
par.
Well, there might still be some over? Movement.
I think it's at two over right now. As it stands, this field would not make the weekend. Would be Ooh. Dustin Johnson, Tony Finau, Will Zalatoris, where he was on such a upward trajectory. He got hurt.
Injuries crushed.
Brooks Koepka not going to be in line to make the cut this weekend.
Rahm.
So John Rahm has gone downhill pretty quickly with going over to, John Rahm is in. He's at two over. John Rahm's in.
Oh, no, I was going to say, according to mine,
no,
he was in. Not. Oh, it's moved since.
But here's the number of the day. Number of the day. Yesterday, Nick Dunlap, he was the target of several jokes and laughs, and included in Jeff Russ' update yesterday. He shot a 90. He went 18 over par yesterday. Today, Nick Dunlap threw 9 holes on the turn, 3 under par.
What?
He's 3 under heading fantastic. To the back nut. Hey,
improvement,
dude. You want to talk about? You want to have yourself a Dusty Hara-esque tournament? For me, this would be like shooting 100 and then coming back and shooting an 85. Like that's what this guy is doing. Yeah. That's what in the pro ranks. That's what you're 90, and then this dude is. He could be. Right now, he's pacing to be 21 strokes better than he was yesterday.
Love that. Do you want to know the most insane number from yesterday in his round of 18 over 90?
Hmm.
Not one three-putt.
Well, he two-putted or one-putted everything?
Everything.
That is not a Dusty Hara round, and I can tell you with certainty, when the blow-ups happen, a lot of three-putts.
Yeah.
There's a lot of three-putts.
That might be a Will Ortner round. There's a lot of hitting over greens and short of greens.
I like it.
Yeah, bump and run doesn't always work well when you run.
Mm. All right. Well, there's your Masters update. People are very upset at this. Bryson not getting his love. I'm sure over the weekend we will see a lot. I'm excited for the weekend. We got a really good leaderboard. In the top 10 right now, you've got Jason Day, Victor Hovland, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Bryson DeChambeau. That you have those five guys are in the top 10 right now. And then you have like Ludvig Åberg is in the mix. You got Matsuyama is in the mix. Tommy Fleetwood, Golf Jesus, Thigala, all of these guys are within striking distance
Victor
as well.
Hovland.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Way to go, Masters. So beautiful. So beautiful. Ooh, I pulled Nick Dunlap's name out of a hat in our office pool. Totally random. Well, I can kiss that Boeing golf bag goodbye. Yeah, dude. Sorry, man. That sucks. You should get something for him.
At least
if he goes 90-69, you should get something out of that.
I think at least you know. Like, you don't. If nothing would be worse than like if you had Justin Rose, because right now you're like, I got a shot.
Just imagine him going out and shooting the course record today, and he'd still wind up at like 9 over overall.
No, he
this, you know, it's done.
This guy could, if the projected cut line is at 2 over, and he goes 3 under on the back 9 as well, that put him at 6 under par. He would miss the cut by 10 strokes.
I think he'd still be in last.
He would miss the cut by 10 strokes, still be in dead last, and go 6 under par. Nuts. All right, let's talk to the big boss man, Jeff Austin.
That's fantastic.
He's 17 years here at The Fan. Our beloved program director is saying goodbye to us. He is riding off into the sunset into retirement. We'll talk to him after us with SportsCenter.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today we are bidding farewell to our dear fearless leader, Jeff Austin. 17 years here at the Fan?
Yeah.
Is that right? 17 years.
Just like that. It's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
And you are riding off into retirement.
I am. I'm retiring from the workforce, period.
Period. Getting out completely?
No,
so we're not going to see you pop up?
No.
It's the perfect time, too, I hear. With all the stock market stuff.
Yeah, the timing couldn't be better. I'm the king of good timing.
Okay. We are treating you with your last hire on air and your first hire on air.
I heard you guys talking about that. You're absolutely right.
Okay, well, who do you love more?
Yeah. Which one's your favorite? Quick.
You sound like Dirt and Sprague.
Yeah.
Only their question was, which one of us is a bigger pain in the butt?
That's Sprague, 100%.
I said yes.
Yeah. Okay, 17 years. This station has changed dramatically from when you took over to where it is now. Mm-hmm. What did you see about the Fan, and why did you come to Portland?
Well, I think Portland's a great sports town for a lot of reasons. You have to find the right people to be on, to make a successful sports radio station. But Portland's great because, yes, we care about the Blazers, the Ducks, the Beavers, Timbers, whatever, right? The Thorns. Mm-hmm. But we also have a world view here. So whatever is interesting, not just even in sports, but, you know, pop culture, you name it, this is a great place to be. That's the kind of place that I like to work with. It's, you know, it's not one-dimensional. It's not 100% X's and O's. It's something for everybody. Be relatable. Attract as many people under the tent as you can. And I think for, you know, and for guys like you, if you feel that way too, and you don't want to find 25 different ways to talk about the same team the way you have to in some markets, then this is a great place to work.
How'd you find the guys that really fit that sound? Because, I mean, like, I grew up listening to this station. I fell in love with it. Like, that's why I wanted to get into this industry, right? Is falling in love with the personalities that they had here and that you hired here at the station. How'd you create that sound?
You know, you just try to hire good people, and there's a little bit of coaching in the beginning, but after that, you really have to let people go and find their own way, because if you hire smart people, the rest will take care of itself. And, you know, we've had a lot of luck. When I got here, we had three full-time people. It was Isaac, Suk, and Swag. But that's a great place to start, right? Right. As we know, I mean, Isaac and Suk had been doing it for a couple of years when I got here. And it's just been building ever since. As you noted, I mean, Dusty was my first hire. He's filled a lot of roles here. We've had some great, not just great shows, but we've really put on some good broadcasts with you guys where we've done high school football, for instance.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, we had it for a while there. We were doing two high school football games a night, one on the Fan and one on 910 ESPN Portland, you know, on both sides of the river, right? And we had enough people to do that. This was pre-pandemic. But, you know, I would put that high school broadcast with you, Travis Demers, Swag. We had all kinds, like Brett Elliott came through, Andrew Nemec. We had just an incredible lineup of people who are now going on to do bigger and better things. And, you know, I think it's just a matter of having instincts with people, and then you let those people have some freedom and let them grow.
You, Portland wasn't your first stop, but you put together in kind of the maturations of some shows in other markets too. Mm-hmm. The one that, how did you get, because you put together a show with Kirk Herbstreit and Ian Fitzsimmons in Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm. How, that is quite the feather in your cap when you look at those two guys and their careers and where they're at right now.
Yeah, well, Herbie was there at the station already when I got there. And we hired Ian from WJOX in Birmingham. This, I mean, I listened to him and I thought, well, actually his first tape, I told him his first tape sucked. But Herbie actually knew him. Herbie would get called up to go on JOX, which is, you know, probably best known as the station that Paul Feinbaum is on. I gave him another listen. I listened to him live on the air. I did a little check on it on their stream, and I was like, okay, I get it. This guy's great. We hired him to do mornings, and he got our best morning ratings ever. But we were thinking, you know, if we really want to make the A team, we let Ian quarterback that afternoon drive show. Herbie's the analyst with him. They got along great. And then we were even fortunate enough later on to have the updates during the show being done by Paul Keels, the longtime voice of the Buckeyes. So
that is everything Ohio State fans would want.
Oh, it was amazing. It really was. And we were fortunate enough to hire Chris Spielman, the great All-American linebacker and All-Pro for the Lions, and briefly for Buffalo and Cleveland as well before he was done. We got him in there to do middays, lunch with a linebacker, basically.
Yeah.
And, of course, Chris then went on also, just like Herbie, to do national TV. Chris does NFL work, of course, and Herbie's doing everything under the sun these days.
Wow.
That's quite
a show.
Quite a show there.
Yeah, it was fortunate.
What's the plans now? Like, are you just going to be at every Hawkinson High School football game yelling at me from the stands?
I would like to do that. You know, we're still figuring it out. We would love to stay in the Northwest, but from a retirement, from a financial standpoint, which you were referring to earlier, for people on fixed income and retirement income, it's a lot easier to go back where I'm from in North Carolina and afford more. So we're kind of weighing the options there. But, I would like to go to at least one more Hawkinson Hawks football game. We were fortunate enough while my kids were in school there and while you were playing there over that time to have all kinds of playoff runs and back-to-back state championships. But, you know, it was so much fun doing high school football here from the Fan and from ESPN Portland with you guys. And, I mean, being able to do games in the GSHL up in Clark County, but also doing all the leagues here on the Oregon side, talking to the officials, the coaches, the parents, the players, how much, and I know you guys have heard it too, how much they appreciated that we really cared about high school football. And of course, a lot of those athletes and coaches have now gone on to do big things like you and play college ball. Some of them have made it to pro football. And of course, we did some basketball on the way too. And this is a great town, as we know, even including this week with the Nike Hoop Summit. It's a great town for high school basketball players as well.
You've been all over, and you mentioned you're from North Carolina, but you also spent time in Texas, New York City.
Yeah.
You have the duo, or actually the trifecta of fan bases and college sports that people love to hate. Your time in Columbus, Ohio State.
Right.
North Carolina, where your dad worked at Duke.
That's correct.
And the University of Texas.
You've got them all.
It's the axis of evil. Yeah.
It really is. Like, you've got college hoops, you've got college football, and then with Texas, you can also throw in college baseball as the most hated.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're Texas for college baseball. I think they won more national championships than anybody. I know that they're at least at the top in total victory, something like that, but the connection was, I grew up on the Duke campus because my father worked there. So they put the clothes on my back and the food on the table. And that's
an easy one to root for.
Very easy. And, you know, I mean, I go back far enough. See, I was pre-Coach K. So Duke sucked in those days. It's hard for anybody under 50 to even imagine that. But back, I mean, they were the underdogs getting their butts kicked by UNC and NC State and all the great Maryland and Virginia with Ralph Sampson. And then they became something. And now, of course, you know, they're the team that everybody loves to hate.
You have, like, that was back in the day when John Feinstein, who just died.
Yeah.
He was a student at Duke.
He was the editor of the Duke Chronicle sports section. I told him one time, you know, they used to, when you go into a Duke football game at Wallace Wade Stadium, at that time they still had the original wooden bleachers. They were the ones that were there when the Beavers played Duke in the 41 Rose Bowl, right? When they had to move it because of Pearl Harbor. Those were splinter makers. If you wanted a splinter in your posterior, you went to a Duke football game. So they lined those Chronicles up, and I told John, I said, I took two of them every game, one to read your preview of that game that day and the other one to put under my butt. And he said, well, the one that went under your butt did you more good. but yeah, John, I was sorry to see him pass. He was really one of the most talented people, sports journalists that I've ever been around. You know, you got the Masters on today.
Yeah.
He wrote some great golf books, including A Good Walk Spoiled. So, yeah. But, yeah, he was Duke student back in those days.
And Brian Henniger, yeah, who we had on this week, he yeah was featured in that book, A Good Walk Spoiled, yep, by John Feinstein. What are you looking forward to the most retirement, besides not having to deal with us anymore?
Oh, no. I mean, that's actually what I'm going to miss the most. But as far as what I'm going to enjoy the most, it's making my own schedule, not having to worry about what I'm going to do Monday morning. It's been a long time since I've had to feel that way or mm-hmm gotten to feel that way. So, yeah, make your own schedule. Spend more time with your family and friends. Do, you know, pursue some hobbies. People that I know who have retired say you're going to love it. So, I should say also I'm going to try to play a little bit of golf.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I was looking for.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's the reason why my handicap is so high, because I'm spending a lot of time working at the Fan and not so much on the golf course.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the Saturday morning when I'm filling in tomorrow, the text from you like, hey, make sure you fix this part or make sure you do this. Like, oh yeah, well, Jeff, you're retired.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that anymore. I mean, officially, I'm off the clock after today. And,
you can tell them to go take a hike now. I'll
tell you this right now, that'll never happen. Yeah.
Explore the space. Do whatever you want. It'll be different.
Well, I can tell you this. As far as bosses go, I couldn't have asked for a better guy to hire me and to work with for 17 years here. Mm-hmm. Thank you for everything you've done for this station, because when you took this thing over, we had one local show.
Yeah.
As you said, we had three full-time employees, and now it is a station that has three local shows, 10 mm-hmm hours of local content every single day, mm-hmm, and the shoulder programming that we had one weekend show.
Yeah.
That actually started after it was in the fall when you brought back the Saturday morning show with Travis and I doing the tailgate show.
That's right.
And now we have two weekend shows, two shows throughout the week with the base Hot Corner and the recruiting show. Mm-hmm. And the programming has never been better. And the station is a completely different place. So thank you for hiring me and taking a flyer on an idiot from Southern Oregon University. Directional school guys right here.
Yep.
And I appreciate everything you've done for me and for this station, because it is a special place to work, and you were at the anchor of it. So thank you.
Thanks, Dusty, and thank you, Will. And, and working with you guys has been just fantastic. I mean, that's, as I said, that's what I'm going to miss the most. We've got some really good people here, and mm-hmm, and I appreciate you guys more than I can say.
Jeff Austin, yep, riding off into the sunset into retirement after today. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Jeff.
There he is.
My pleasure.
All right. The boss man who's given us so much awesome programming and is responsible. Well, whether you like us or not, he's responsible for all of us that work here.
This is his fault.
Bring it on my way.
But he is he's taken off and he's off to greener pastures. So thank you, Jeff Austin. All right, we get back to the sports. Noah Eagle coming up at 1:30 today to preview the Nike Hoop Summit and what the off season looks like for a guy who is so damn busy throughout the rest of the course of the year. But we teased it at the beginning of the show. The Seahawks have a new name in the quarterback room, but it's a familiar face. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. So hit the road. Familiar face coming back to Seattle as the Seahawks have got a backup for Sam Darnold, huh?
Yeah, and as far as backups go, it's fine.
Drew Lock returning to Seattle after going over to New York. And this is an interesting move. Obviously, the coordinators are gone. This is a connection with front office. And they brought him in, remember, as part of the Russell Wilson deal to Denver. He and Noah Fant were players that came back mm-hmm in return to Seattle in that Wilson deal. Now, he got his shot. He played a little bit in Seattle, goes to New York, didn't work out there, and now he comes back and he'll be backing up Sam Darnold, and the quarterback room has a competent backup to go with a veteran. And look, if there's nothing else about Drew Lock, vibes guy.
He's fun. He seems like a guy who's going to have a long career in the NFL, because there are some guys who can be a backup.
Yeah.
Drew Lock can be a backup. There are some guys who can't be a backup. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be the most important thing with Locke. You could tell when he came in for Geno, when Geno had his injuries 2 years ago, the guys liked him. Like, Geno was celebrating Drew Locke on Monday Night Football leading a game-winning drive. You don't always see that. I mean, right now, it kind of feels like with Aaron Rodgers' situation that he's waiting until after the draft to make sure that if he does go to Pittsburgh, which he probably should go to Pittsburgh, he's going to go there making sure they don't draft a QB young, because he doesn't want to have to train him. Right. Yeah. And so I think that it takes a special kind of person to unite a locker room, to unite that quarterback room. And Drew Lock clearly seems to be that guy.
Well, backup quarterback up in Seattle is Drew Lock again. Also in quarterback news, the Browns have brought back Joe Flacco. You tell me you are not comfortable with your quarterback room without telling me you're comfortable with your quarterback room.
What? Is there a weirder quarterback room? Like, think about it. If they actually draft Shador Dart,
yeah,
because this doesn't eliminate that.
No, not
is one. There a weirder quarterback room? You have Deshaun Watson, who you're paying a buttload of money to.
Mm-hmm. Who won't be back, but...
who will not play.
Comeback is for the haters. So what he's saying is that the comeback is literally for every single person on planet Earth. And he wants to prove the haters wrong.
No one likes him.
Nobody. No.
I don't know that.
Well, Jameis does.
Yeah, well.
Jameis.
Does Jameis not like anyone?
I don't know.
Jameis is an odd duck.
He is an odd duck.
He's fun.
But Deshaun Watson is saying that the haters are going to be proved wrong. That's the fuel for his comeback. Dude, whatever, just go away. And the, you know what that also indicates, though? Right. He's not getting anywhere closer to a settlement with the Browns to get out of that albatross of a deal with a guy who ruptured his Achilles twice and has a shoulder issue.
It also shows you that he's delusional.
Yeah, it is.
He doesn't get it.
But they have Deshaun Watson under contract. They also got Kenny Pickett.
Right.
Now Joe Flacco. And then they would draft another quarterback. I don't see Shador being that guy. But if they go in the second round and they bring a young guy in,
mm-hmm.
sure, I could see that.
You see him bringing in Dart, maybe a Tyler Shuck?
Yeah, possibly.
Who seems to be jumping up everyone's draft
Quinn
board.
Ewers?
Yeah, I don't... It's been very quiet, his draft process. For a guy that I would have thought would have made a lot of noise, not necessarily from a skill level point, but just from a talking
Dude,
heads point.
If you don't go quarterback in the second round, you're probably looking at third round... Quinn Ewers, fourth round Quinn Ewers type.
I think there's a decent chance that he's day three. Like,
oh yeah, that's third or fourth round.
And he's hammering home right now. Like, his issues were the torn oblique from the very beginning of the year, which is when you saw Arch Manning. I think I disagree. Yeah, it affected you a little bit. It's going to affect your deep ball. Mm-hmm. It's going to affect your accuracy. Anytime you're throwing, you're rotating, there's an effect there. But a lot of his issues that he had the previous year didn't get fixed.
Yeah. This has been a horrific draft cycle for the University of Texas.
Yes, it is.
Isaiah Bond now arrested and released on sexual assault charges. You have Quinn Ewers falling. For whatever reason, you have Kelvin Banks is undervalued in this. It's the complete opposite of what happened last year with the mm-hmm. Texas prospects. All right, hour number one is in the books. Hour number two, we'll have Noah Eagle on NBC. He'll be calling the Nike Hoop Summit coming up tomorrow in Moda Center, and that's where Danny is. He's summiting the hoops of the Nike Hoop Summit.
He's at the top, the tippy top.
He's there, man. He's there. But we'll talk with Noah Eagle coming up at 1:30, but where we start hour number two, we have our first holdout in college football. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.